If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. And let me welcome those of you who are in our second refuge worship service at 11 o'clock, and to those of you who may be listening via the internet on our iPad broadcast. We are in our study from the book of Hebrews, and I would encourage you to follow along in Scripture as I begin reading in just a moment from verse 13 of Hebrews 6. But let me set the groundwork and the foundation for what we'll be saying this morning. I want to show you from the passage we're about to read how God swears. What I mean by that is, God makes an oath using His own name, because there is no greater name that He can use. And the oath that He makes, the swear that He gives, is designed to give you some incredible encouragement. I read in the newspaper this morning about a 58-year-old man who worked for the state of Oklahoma. He embezzled over $1 million, had a gambling habit, is now serving a 10-year sentence. His wife works in a church daycare. She did not leave him. But he has caused an incredible amount of pain, not only in the lives of his family members, but in the state of Oklahoma, the people who trusted him and worked with him. If that gentleman were listening to the message that I'm about to give from this text, technically it's God's message, not mine, I believe he could find some strong encouragement. Likewise, you are here this morning, and frankly, you are absolutely worn out in terms of your efforts to please God. Not that you don't want to please Him. In fact, the evidence that you have been saved by His grace is your desire to please your Father. But you are worn out because you have failed miserably in your life, in ways that others may not even know, in secret ways that you know and God knows, and you just are ready to give up. In our text we're about to read, there is some strong encouragement for you. Because as we will see, when God swears, you and I can rest. Let's begin in verse 13 of Hebrews 6. For when God made the promise to Abraham... Now, what promise is being referred to here? In Genesis 17, God said to Abraham, I will bless you, and I will multiply your seed, that means your descendants. At the time, Abram had no children. He was 90 years old. But God promised to bless Abram. That's the promise referred to here. It's a little hard for you to recognize how cursed an individual would feel in Abraham's day for having no children. Abram was desperate, and God promised him that He would bless him and give him descendants. When God made this promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, Abraham obtained the promise. And if you know your Old Testament, you know that after 10 years, Abraham gave birth to a son, Isaac, who became the father of the nation of Israel. the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 17. This is where our encouragement comes in. In the same way, God desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise. Now, by the way, the heirs of the promise to Abraham. It's you. It's me. As we'll see in just a moment. He's not speaking to the nation of Israel. The heirs to the promise of Abraham are those who believe in Christ, both Jew and Gentile. These are the true heirs, those who have faith in the Lord. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show you the unchangeableness of His purpose to bless you, interposed, guaranteed, His promise to bless you with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, His purpose and His promise, we who have taken refuge in Christ might have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. Now the hope is Jesus Christ, as we'll see next week as we look at the last two verses of Hebrews 6. But from the verses that we just read, let me see if I can't convince you that you can rest because God swears. This is God's desire. His desire is that you might be encouraged because He is swearing. Now, I know that some of you who have kids and so on, you try to make sure that you tell the kids that they're to have their yes be yes and their no be no and never make a promise or an oath and never swear and so on. And I understand where you're coming from. However, the Bible says God swears. He gives an oath. And contrary to some who say it is a sin for you to swear or to give an oath, I do not see that in Scripture at all. In fact, our entire judicial system is based upon us swearing. Mike Fields, a member of our church, our district attorney, I know Mike and other prosecutors and assistant DAs, when they are in the courtroom and someone gets on the stand and they raise their right hand and they swear, there is a sense of comfort that the truth is coming. On what basis? The person swearing is swearing an oath on someone greater than himself. For example, in England, when you swear in court, you say, raising your right hand, I swear by God that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In Scotland, when you give your testimony in a courtroom, you raise your right hand and say something similar. I swear by Almighty God that I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In the United States, you place your hand on the Bible and you raise your right hand and you say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. You watch television today, maybe Survivor, or other reality shows, you will often hear people make a promise, and they will confirm their promise with an oath, calling on the name of someone they believe to be greater. For instance, I swear by the life of my child, or I swear on my mother's grave, and so on. And that oath is supposed to make their promise sure. It is supposed to end all argument. That is what an oath is for. Now listen to our text, verse 13. When God promised Abraham that he would bless him. Genesis 17 and Genesis 22. He swore using an oath. But since there is no one greater than God, he swore by his own name, saying, I will bless you. Now, here's the point that the writer of Hebrews is making. In the same manner, when you come to Christ, God swears to you he will bless you. God inserts in his promise an oath by his own name that you will be blessed by him because you have fled to Christ for refuge. This is the second point. God's promise is that when you flee to Christ, you will find refuge. It's there in our text in verse 17. In the same way that God promised Abraham, you who flee to Christ, verse 18, who take refuge in him, have strong encouragement from the oath of God that he will bless you. Now listen to me very carefully. If your greatest encouragement in the Christian life comes from your commitment to God and not God's commitment to you, you will often battle discouragement. If you have lost sight of the oath of God to bless you, and you are constantly looking to your performance for his blessing, you will often find yourself discouraged. Now, let me show you what I mean. And we're going to have to take a look at this promise that God made to Abraham for you to understand what I just said. And if you don't know your Old Testament, let me see if I can't just make it very simple. It's an incredible story. As I mentioned earlier, Abraham was 90 years old and he had no heir. And God met him in Genesis 17 and made a covenant with him and said, I will bless you and I will multiply your seed. Then he swore an oath saying, I will do this. And he changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham for 10 years patiently waited for the promise. And then Isaac was born, the child of promise. Abraham is 100 years old. 20 years later, when Isaac is 20, God comes to Abraham and says, offer up your only son Isaac to me as a sacrifice. Now, don't get hung up on the fact that Almighty God is calling on Abraham to give him his son. Don't get hung up on that. There are some scoffers and some skeptics who say, well, God is no different than Moloch in asking for kids and so on. No. It was never the intention of God to take Isaac in death. All this was a picture for us that God has given us his only son. And Abraham offering up of Isaac on an altar on Mount Moriah was to show us that the blessing of God comes to us by his faithfulness, confirmed with an oath, and not our performance. Let me see if I can't help you understand. Abraham listens to God. He takes his son Isaac and brings him to Mount Moriah. He builds an altar. And he lays Isaac, his son, on the altar. You can read about it in Genesis 22. And Abraham, listening to the voice of God, raises his hand with a knife to take the life of his own son. And God stops him and says, I have provided for you a ram. Take the ram and offer him. The scripture says that Abraham found the ram caught in a thicket and offered the ram on behalf of Isaac and himself. And listen to what the Lord said in response. Genesis 22. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you, Abraham, have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. This is the very verse that the writer of Hebrews is quoting. Now, what does this mean to me and you? Well, here it is. I want you to think. Follow me. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Number one, Abraham knew himself incapable. He was 120 years old. Were Isaac to die, he would have no heir. God had already promised him that he would be blessed and a great nation would come from him. Now Isaac is on the altar. Abraham was incapable of obtaining the blessing himself. His body could not produce another heir. Now think with me. For those of you who all of your life you have thought the blessing of God fell upon you by your performance, you have missed the greatest encouragement of Scripture. You are blessed by God not because you perform adequately, but because you have fled to Christ. And God has made an oath and swore using His own name that you will be blessed for having taken refuge in Christ. You are incapable of obtaining the blessing yourself. Number two, Abraham believed God reliable, meaning this. God had already said to Abraham, I will bless you and multiply your seed. Now Abraham has his son on an altar, and his son is moments away from death. God stops Abraham, but as I will show you in Hebrews chapter 11, that as Abraham prepared to take the life of his son, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 19 of Hebrews 11, that Abraham believe that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. Now think about this. What Abraham was saying in his mind was simply, look, even if my son dies, my God can raise my son from the dead to give me a mighty nation. Think with me. In the same manner, God has made you a promise to bless you, and has confirmed that promise with an oath, that by two unchangeable things, His purpose and His oath, you might have strong encouragement that the blessing of God abides upon you, you who have fled to Christ. That encouragement is all of Him. He is reliable to bless you. He is faithful to His promise. You have found refuge in Christ. And everything in your life, everything that you need, every form of protection is yours, because of God's swearing to you by an oath that you have it in Christ. Third, Abraham discovered life sustainable. Not only did he know himself incapable, not only did he see God reliable, it is through his understanding of the faithfulness of God that he found life sustainable. Now think with me. You're here this morning, and you have gone through your Christian life under this deluded concept that the blessings of God are yours based upon your performance or your kids' performance or your church's performance. You have been living your life just the opposite of Abraham. And it very well could be that you have missed the message of true Christianity. The blessings of God for you, just like in Abraham, are found in his promise, confirmed by an oath, sworn by God himself, on the name of no one greater than him, that he will bless all those who flee to Christ for refuge. My word! I ask you this question. As you go through life and you hear that doctor say, you have cancer. As you go through life and you hear your boss say, you're fired. As you go through life and your son is in an accident or your daughter is killed, as you go through life and your husband abandons you, I want to ask you a question. Where do you turn your eye of faith? Do you make the religious mistake of constantly going back and looking at your performance and asking yourself the question, is it because I have not performed adequately that I am not being blessed by God? I would propose to you that if that's where you go, you are missing the gospel. Hebrews 6, verses 13 through 18 are verses that are very clear. God has sworn he will bless us, those of us who have fled to Christ for refuge. So when things seem dark and the world all around you seems to be falling apart, keep your head up. Keep your eyes up. Keep your faith on the right object and realize that your God is able to even raise the dead. And when you understand that the blessings of God are yours based upon the character of God and the oath he has sworn, then incredible encouragement comes and your burden is lighter. And though you may not be able to answer all the questions that come your way, And though you may not be able to tell people exactly where the blessing is, I am absolutely confident that when Isaac was on the altar, Abraham could not have responded to you how this was a blessing. But he knew where his blessing was, and it was in his God. And the more you get your encouragement from the faithfulness of God to you, rather than your faithfulness to him, the greater life will be able to be sustained by his grace and not your performance. But I close by showing you this. We find in our text that the people of God, that is, the heirs of this promise, are those with faith in a God who swears. You know, the truth is, you come to church on Sunday morning and you listen to me teach a message and so on, but I could be sitting around your coffee table. I could be at your dining room table. We could open up the Bible. I'd be saying the same thing. I'd be just as passionate because that's the way I am. I get passionate about these things. You know, that you do not need religion. You do not need religious performance. You do not need anything in this world to guarantee you the blessing of your God. You have it because you have fled to Christ for your refuge. He is the anchor of hope in your soul. Now, when the devil comes along and begins to whisper in your ear, "You're just a no good, sorry outfit. How dare you think God will bless you? Who do you think you are? Look at how you have failed. Do you remember this? Do you remember that? Come on now. Who do you think you are, you old hypocrite?" You remind the prosecutor from hell that the greatest witness has taken the stand. And he has raised his right hand and he has sworn by no other name but his own, for there is no greater name. "I swear that I, the creator of the universe, will bless my child, for he has fled to my only son for his refuge. And I confirm my fidelity to my promise to bless my child based upon my oath, so that by my two unchanging things, my purpose to bless, and my promise to bless, my child is always and only and continually blessed by me." And you say to the devil, "You lose. I am blessed because of God." In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul in Romans 4, verse 16 says, "This promise, the promise to bless," by the way, he was referring to Abraham too, "and to those who are Abraham's true heirs, this promise is certain to those Gentiles and Jews who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." In other words, don't take your religious instruction from the Jews, from Baptists, from any religious organization. Take your religious instruction from Abraham and believe God so that when you begin to understand that God swears, you can rest. If you're here this morning and you know yourself incapable, like Abraham, to perform. You're here this morning and you believe God is reliable. That I would encourage you to look to the God who swears and relax. The world can go to hell in a handbasket, and you are preserved by a God who has made an oath to you. I will bless you, for you have fled to my Son. May God give us strong encouragement from this text. And for those of you who have a background that you're so embarrassed about that you blush, you don't want anybody to know, I remind you that you come to Christ and the promise of God to bless is yours because of Him, not you. Let's pray together.